Yes, this morning we are looking at the helmet of salvation, yes, so I'm glad I prepared the right one and I didn't turn up and Scott was expecting something different. And I've got a question for you just to get started. I wonder how many of us would say that we currently live in an anxious age. In his book, The Anxious Generation, which is a great book, if you've not read it, I really encourage you to read it. Jonathan Haidt points to what he describes as a dramatic rise in anxiety, depression, self-harm, and mental health struggles, particularly among young people. And since 2010, apparently anxiety amongst American college students has reportedly risen by over 130%. Whilst depression's more than doubled, suicide rates among young children have risen sharply as well. Now, we can debate the exact causes and different experts disagree on some of the details, but very few people would deny that something has changed. People are anxious. People are fearful. People are overwhelmed. And perhaps one reason is that we now carry burdens that human beings were never designed to carry. For most of human history, what did people know day to day? Well, they knew about their family. They knew about their village. They knew about their local community. They knew about their crops. They knew about their livestock. They knew about their immediate concerns, but now, before we've even had breakfast, we can know about wars on the other side of the world. We can know about political crisis in multiple countries. We can know about economic problems, natural disasters, violent crime, celebrity scandals, disease outbreaks, and 1,000 opinions from complete strangers. We are constantly being exposed to information from every corner of the world. And the problem is not simply that we know more. The problem is that our hearts were never designed to carry concern for everything happening everywhere all at once. Because God created us as finite people, didn't he? We are omniscient. We are not omniscient. God is. We are not all-knowing. Yet every day we are fed an endless stream of fear, of outrage, of anxiety, of uncertainty. Think about this. When was the last time that you watched the news or you checked the news on your phone and came away feeling peaceful? Because fear sells. Fear keeps us watching. Fear keeps us clicking. Fear keeps us scrolling. And social media companies know that the longer they keep us engaged, the more adverts they show us and the more money that they can make. So fear is profitable. But there's something deeper happening than algorithms and advertising. Because Paul tells us in Ephesians 6 that behind the visible struggles of life, there is an invisible battle. Listen to what we read earlier. He said, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of his darkness, against evil and spiritual forces in the heavens." So Paul's telling us as Christians that we are involved in a spiritual battle. Now, not every anxious thought is from Satan. Not every struggle is spiritual warfare. But Paul is clear that the enemy has schemes, strategies, lies, accusations, fears. And his goal is to draw us away from Christ and to fill us with fear instead of faith, to fill us with despair instead of hope, to make us forget who we are and whose we are. And one of the primary battlegrounds is the mind. And that's why it's no accident that when Paul describes the armor of God, he includes a helmet. Because what does a helmet do? It protects the head. It protects the mind. And today we are going to think about the helmet of salvation, because the helmet of salvation protects the Christian mind by fixing it on the certainty of what Christ has done, is doing, and will do for us. Or to put it in a phrase that we'll keep coming back to through the sermon: saved in the past, being saved in the present, and will be saved in the future. Christians sometimes think of salvation as only something that happened in the past, the day they came to faith. But the Bible speaks about salvation in three dimensions. We have been saved from the penalty of sin. We are being saved from the power of sin. And one day we will be completely saved from the presence of sin. Amen. Saved, being saved, will be saved. And we'll unpack that much more as you go through the passage. But Paul is teaching us that remembering those truths is like putting on a helmet that protects our minds in the battle, in the middle of the battle. So when guilt attacks us, think that we are saved. When temptation attacks us, think that we're being saved. And when fear and despair attack us, think about the future being saved. And that is the confidence that the helmet of salvation gives the Christian. Before we can understand the helmet, we need to understand why we need one. And just as we read in the passage, Paul tells us there's a battle taking place, a spiritual battle. Paul is very clear that we have an enemy who has schemes, an enemy who is a liar, an enemy who uses fear to draw people away from Christ. But notice the word that Paul uses in the passage, the word schemes. The devil's attacks are often subtle. Every Christian will face lies, doubts, discouragement, temptation, accusation, fears, distraction. Just think about some of the thoughts that might creep into our minds. Things like, God doesn't really love me. Look at the mistakes that you've made. You'll never change. What is the point of praying? Things are only going to get worse. God has forgotten you. Or maybe it's the future is hopeless. And those thoughts, they all have one thing in common. They move our eyes away from Christ, away from the truth, away from hope. And that is exactly what the enemy wants. One of Satan's greatest victories is not necessarily making us deny Christ. Sometimes it's just simply distracting us from Christ, keeping us fearful, keeping us anxious, keeping us focused on ourselves rather than on God, keeping us so overwhelmed by today's headlines that we forget the promises of eternity. And that's why the mind is such an important battleground, because the enemy knows that if he can shape our thinking, if he can distort how we live, that is why God gives us a helmet. Not because the battle isn't real, but because it is. The Christian is not defenseless. God knows the battle we face. God knows the lies we hear. He knows the fear we carry. And so he provides us with protection. Saved, being saved, will be saved. The helmet of salvation protects the mind by continuously bringing us back to those truths. I'm trying to catch Matt's eye here because that's our cue to change the slide and he's looking down. I brought my computer along and it wouldn't work on the screen, so Matt's running the slides for me. So God has given us protection. The wonderful thing about Ephesians 6 is that Paul doesn't simply tell us there's a battle. He also tells us that God has provided everything we need to stand firm in that battle. Listen to what he says. He says, finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. And notice where does the strength come from? Not from us. Not from our willpower, not from our determination, not from our positive thinking. Paul says, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. The armor of God is provision for God's people, and the strength comes from him. And that should be encouraging, because most of us know what it feels like to be mentally exhausted, to be discouraged, to be overwhelmed. And Paul's not just saying, just wise up and try harder. He's saying, take what God has already provided. And now when Paul wrote those words, everyone would immediately picture the Roman soldier, wouldn't they? A helmet protected one of the most vulnerable and important parts of the body. A wound to the head could be fatal. A helmet wasn't optional. Some of you will know that I work as a vet. And sometimes that involves working with horses. It's not my favourite part of the job, but one I have to do. Most days nothing goes wrong, but every vet has a story. The horses don't wake up in the morning thinking, who can I injure today? But they are big, they're powerful, and sometimes things happen very quickly. So that's why my employer has a rule that we must always wear a hard hat whenever we are working with any horse. And they called the campaign to promote this rule nationally, Bad Hair, Don't Care. And apparently being an equine vet is one of the most dangerous jobs in the world. It's not as high up as working on rigs or firemen, but somewhere close. And as a vet, you don't wait until the horse is rearing up before you think, perhaps I should put a helmet on, because by then it's too late. The helmet goes on before the danger appears, doesn't it? And the problem with spiritual attacks is they rarely announce themselves beforehand. And Paul's saying exactly the same spiritually. Because you don't wait until doubt appears. You don't wait until fear appears. You don't wait until suffering or temptation appears. What do? You take up the armor every day. Because spiritual attacks are often unexpected. A diagnosis, maybe a financial pressure, maybe a family crisis, maybe a temptation, maybe a discouraging conversation or a frightening headline. And then suddenly the battle is right in front of you. And that's why Paul says, for this reason, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, because the evil day will come. So the question is not whether we will need the helmet. The question is whether we will already be wearing it. Those truths are not emergency equipment to be pulled out when life falls apart. They are truths we need to wear every single day. So what is the helmet of salvation? And if God has given his helmet, what exactly is it? And what are the truths that protect the Christian mind? When Paul tells us to take the helmet of salvation, he isn't simply saying, remember that you're a Christian. He's talking about salvation that stretches across your past, your present, and your future. The helmet protects the mind because it reminds us of what Christ has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. So we look first at saved in the past. We have been saved from the penalty of sin. And the first thing the helmet reminds us of is that we belong to Christ. Our greatest problem has already been dealt with. And the Bible calls this justification. We stood guilty before a holy God. We deserved judgment. We could never earn our way into God's favor. Yet Jesus came. Jesus lived a sinless life. And he died the death that we deserved. And when he cried out on the cross, it is finished. The debt was paid. And Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, therefore there is now no condemnation for those in Christ. And think about how often the enemy attacks us here. He whispers, look what you've done. Remember the sin. Remember that failure. Look how badly you've handled that. As Christians, we often become experts at remembering our failures, don't we? But the helmet reminds us of something greater. Yes, I have failed. Yes, I have sinned. But Christ has paid for my sin. The penalty has been dealt with. The verdict has already been declared, forgiven, accepted, adopted, loved. The enemy wants us to look at our failures. But the helmet points towards Christ's victory. And imagine if you were standing in a court and you knew that you were guilty. The evidence was overwhelming. The verdict was certain. Then somebody steps forward and says, I'll take the punishment. And the judge declares you free. That is what Christ has done for us. The penalty of sin has fallen on him, so that forgiveness can be given to us. We are saved. And then let's look at being saved present. We are being saved from the power of sin. Now, some people hear that and think, well, if I'm saved, why do I still struggle? Why do I still battle temptation? Why do I still get angry? Why do I still worry? Why do I still fail? And the answer is because salvation is not only something God has done, it's also something God is doing. And the Bible calls this sanctification. God is at work in his people. He's changing us. He's shaping us. He's making us more like Christ. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, "For it is God who is working in you, both to will and to work according to his good purpose." The Christian life is not perfection. It is transformation. It's not about never failing. It's about continuing to follow Christ. And one of the enemy's favorite lines is, "You'll never change. You've struggled with this for years. What is the point?" But the helmet reminds us that God has not finished his work. The fact that we're still fighting is evidence that God is working. Every step of growth, every act of repentance, every victory over temptation, every increasing desire to know Christ, these are signs of God's work within us. We were not who we once were. And by God's grace, we will not remain as we are. We are being saved. And finally, we'll look at the third one. We'll be saved future. We will be saved from the presence of sin. And this is perhaps the part of salvation that we maybe sometimes think about least. And yet I believe that it's the part that Paul particularly has in mind. Next slide, please, Matt. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says, "And since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled and put on the hope of salvation as a helmet." Notice that phrase, the hope of salvation. The helmet is future looking. It reminds us where the story ends. One day Christ will return. One day every tear will be wiped away. Every injustice will be made right. Every disease will be gone. Every temptation will end. Every struggle with sin will be over. There will be no more death, and we will see Christ face to face. The enemy wants us to believe that darkness wins. The helmet says Christ wins. The enemy wants us to believe there is no hope. The helmet says glory is coming. The enemy wants us to believe that our suffering is pointless. The helmet says God is working all things according to his purposes. And that changes everything. Because Christians are not hopeful because life is easy. Christians are hopeful because Christ is risen and the future is secure. When the headlines are dark, when life is painful, when prayers seem unanswered, the helmet reminds us this is not the end of the story. So the question is, what is the helmet of salvation? It's a daily choice to fix our minds on what Christ has done and what Christ is doing and what Christ will do. So we'll have a look at that in some more detail. So if the helmet of salvation protects the Christian mind, how do we actually put it on? Next slide, please, Matt. Paul says, take up the helmet of salvation. So notice that. Notice he says take. It's something we have to actively take up. And the helmet doesn't help, does it, if we leave it on the shelf? We must deliberately remind ourselves of the truths of salvation. So how do we take up the helmet? Well, first of all, preach the gospel to yourself. Because most of us are very good at listening to ourselves, aren't we? We like to replay our failures, our fears, our worries, our conversations, the mistakes from years ago. We replay things we wish we'd had said, things we wish we'd never said. But Christians, we need to learn to preach them to ourselves. The Welsh preacher Martin Lloyd-Jones once said that much of our unhappiness comes because we spend too much time listening to ourselves and not enough time talking to ourselves. In other words, we're good at listening to our fears, but we don't answer them. We listen to our doubts, but we don't challenge them. We listen to our guilt, but we don't remind ourselves of the gospel. And the second one, fill your mind with God's truth. One of the themes we already touched on this morning is that the world is constantly changing the way we think. The news, social media, television, advertising, politics are all preaching to us. Every day we are surrounded by voices trying to tell us what matters, what to fear, what to desire, and where to place our hope. But the question is not whether we are being discipled. The question is, who is discipling us? If we spend hours each day consuming the world's message and only a few minutes listening to God's voice, we shouldn't really be surprised when fear grows stronger than faith, should we? In Romans chapter 2, chapter 12, verse 2, Paul writes, "Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." The helmet is strengthened whenever we fill our minds with God's truth. And I cannot emphasize enough that the truths that we are told to fix our minds on are in here. So it's important that we spend time reading scripture. But also, God's truth will fill our minds when we pray, when we worship, when we meet together as God's people, when we remind ourselves of his promises. The world tells us to look around, but the helmet tells us to look up. Third, we need to recognize the lie. Because one of Satan's primary weapons is deception. Remember what Jesus said about him in John chapter 8, verse 44. He said, "He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him." His schemes often begin with a lie about God, about ourselves, about our future, about our circumstances. The problem is that repeated lies can begin to sound like truth. Repeated lies can begin to sound like truth. So we need to learn to recognize them. When the enemy says, "You're condemned," the helmet says, "Saved." There is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. When the enemy says, "You'll never change," the helmet says, "Being saved. God is still working in me." When the enemy says there is no hope, the helmet says we'll be saved. Christ has already secured the victory. The Christian life is not simply believing the truth once. It's repeatedly choosing truth over lies, isn't it? So fourth, how do we take up the helmet? We fix our eyes on Jesus. Because ultimately, the helmet of salvation is not confidence in ourselves. It's confidence in Jesus. And the more I studied this passage, the more I was struck by this verse from Isaiah, where it said, "He put on righteousness as body armor and a helmet of salvation on his head." He, Jesus, put on a helmet of salvation on his head. The first person to wear the helmet of salvation was Jesus himself. So Jesus entered the battle. Jesus faced temptation. Jesus faced suffering. He faced the cross. He faced death himself. And what did he do? He won. He lived the perfect life we could never live. He died the death we deserved. He rose again in victory. He secured the salvation that we now wear. And so in a sense, this is not our helmet. It's Jesus's. He earned it. He won it. And he gives it to us. So that means our confidence is never found in how well we are doing. Our confidence is found in what Christ has done. Our hope is not that we can hold on to him perfectly. Our hope is that he holds on to us perfectly. That the helmet that we are called to take up every day, that this is the helmet that we're called to take up every day. And as we close this morning, remember where we started. We live in an anxious age. We are surrounded by fear. We are fed a constant stream of reasons to worry. But Paul doesn't tell Christians to pretend life is easy, does he? He doesn't tell us to ignore reality. He tells us to put on the helmet of salvation. To remember what Christ has done. To remember what Christ is doing. And to remember what Christ will do. When guilt attacks, when temptation attacks, when fear attacks, remember, Christ has dealt with your past, Christ is working in your present, and Christ has secured your future. Saved, being saved, will be saved. This is your salvation. So take up the helmet, stand firm, and fix your eyes on him. Amen. Let's pray. Yeah, Lord, we thank you for this rich passage. There's so much in this, Lord. Lord, and this morning we just want to, together as a church, thank you for your salvation. Thank you for taking up that helmet. Thank you for dying for each of us. Thank you that we are sinners and you found a way for us to be forgiven. Lord, thank you for our forgiveness. Thank you for our salvation. Lord, help us to overcome fear. Help us to overcome anxiety. Help us to overcome the spiritual warfare, the battle that we are in, the schemes of the devil, the lies, the accusation, the fears that he puts on us. Lord, help us to every day take up the helmet of salvation. Help us to focus our minds on Jesus. Help us to focus our minds on the salvation that you have given us, the promises, the truth. Help us to read your word. Help us to pray. Help us to not scroll Facebook, not scroll the news. Help us to turn to our Bible app instead. Help us to turn to your word instead, Lord. When we get up in the morning, let that be the first thing we think of. We want to read your word. We want to spend time with you. We want to pray. The enemy, the first thing he sometimes puts in our mind is, what's happening in the world right now? No, that's not what we want to know. We want to know your word. We want to know what you have to say to us. The first thing we wake up and the last thing we do when we go to bed. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.